Station number 12243, Captain De Courcy Island, Reel 5.
Captain De Courcy Island, Reel 5. We're talking about your time on the Bellerophon, and when you used to, you were taken out for a sort of height test.
Yes.
Almost. You were saying that when you first went over, you were very nervous.
Yeah.
What was it like then? Could you carry on explaining? Were you attached in any way, or were you just climbing over the rope?
I think you had a rope around you as well, as far as I don't remember. Perhaps one didn't. At any rate, I was definitely scared stiff. I was damn glad I got back again.
Did you ever look down?
No. You just looked in front of you like that.
Could you have fallen?
Oh no! I think I must have had a rope or something on me. I think.
Quite a severe test, though.
It was, yeah.
It's a little bit higher than a masthead.
Yes. I remember feeling very pleased that none of my eggs were broken.
And all of them had to do that, all the midshipmen, the juniors.
Yes.
Did all of them manage it?
As far as I know, yes.
You used to go climbing with a friend, I think.
Yes. Well, this friend of mine, Leslie Baker, he was fond of climbing, and he was also a great collector of birds' eggs of unusual sorts. And you do get all sorts of birds up there on the cliffs, like old peregrine falcons and all that sort of thing. And he used to scare me stiff. He'd go climbing up these blinking cliffs, and I had to sort of sit at the bottom hoping he wouldn't fall off, and that sort of thing. After these eggs, we had to swim across a stretch of water to get to the best cliff. But it was all a good experience.
So that was the way you sort of entertained. On the ship itself, was there any amusement on board ship for you, or was it just routine work?
We had a concert party, and I can remember us putting on one show.
You were part of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a midshipman's?
It was mainly officers, not entirely. One of the officers organised it, and I think about half a dozen of us took part in it. I can't remember what the thing was. It was called something in Glotto or something like that. I don't know.
What sort of show was it? What sort of acts did you have?
Well, if you know what a ship's company's concert party is like, well, it generally starts with, we'll say, a chorus of a dozen sailors, physically rather robust, and all dressed in ladies' underwear with big bras or stuffed out with footballs inside or something like that, and they pound round on the stage singing some song, which is quite unrepeatable, and the padre then retires tactfully. And it goes on like that, you see. Then they used to love a really sentimental song, you know, anything really sentimental about a little robin and a little girl who looked after it when it was ill and all that, some of that type of thing, you see, and sailors like a bit of sentiment like that, and so on.
So there's a lot of contrast between bawdiness and...
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you remember what you did?
Can't, honestly, no.
So that was one thing. That wouldn't be very often, though, the concert.
No.
What about normally? Were you allowed in the wardroom? I'm not sure.
Well, I think I was asked to supper there once. I expect I'll start his nurse or something like that. Or no, there's another chap, a fellow called Dalton, yes, asked some of us up there. Otherwise, you didn't at all.
Was it a bit overpowering being in the wardroom?
Yes, I think so, yes. Yeah. But still, they gave you a jolly good eat.
That's something we haven't touched.
No, we haven't.
What was the food like?
We messed on a shilling a day, plus your service ration, which was worth then about tenpence, or at the most another shilling. So that was 2 shillings a day, we'll say. The messman, well, the food was pretty awful.
How was it served up to you?
We had a messman, and we had a couple of stewards.
So you didn't prepare it yourself?
No. And it would be cooked in the galley.
They brought it to your...
They brought it to... There was a pantry, and a trap hat, and sat down at the table, and some sat at the end like that and got the first helping. But it was rather what I would call... The eggs were... It was just toss up as to how fresh they were. He had a standard dish, which was what we used to call corned beef fish cakes. And that sort of thing.
What corned beef
fish cakes? I don't know. Because I think they were supposed to be fish cakes, it was mostly corned beef. You had a certain amount of salt beef. It was adequate, that's all
I
can
say. Did you get fresh vegetables? I mean, while you were in Scapa, would you get fresh vegetables?
Jolly hard to get, you see, because they would have to go to Kirkwall to get them.
So were you given any supplements of any kind to keep you... I mean, lime juice was the old one, these, but did you get anything like that to keep you healthy?
No, we were... So far as drink went... you see, apart from your messing, you could buy chocolate, all extras, and that sort of thing, but our pay was 5 bob a day, and that took a shilling off for your messing, that's 4 bob a day. Well, that's for everything. And by the time you'd paid your mess bill and the extras, of course, drink was duty free, but we weren't allowed any spirits, theoretically. That's why we liked to having, if you were asked to dinner in the wardroom, because you got a little bit more. But we're pretty broke.
Well, there wouldn't be much to spend your money on, would there?
No, except when I went to Invergordon.
What would you spend it on there?
Well, I was very keen on fishing. I used to do a lot of fishing there. Fly fishing and that sort of thing. Food. We were Leslie Baker and I, and we were very fortunate. We made friends with an old dame who had a cottage outside in the garden, and in return we used to poach rabbits. And in return for a rabbit, we'd take our rabbit, she'd give us an absolute blowout tea, you know, bacon and eggs and God knows what. But food is a very important item. One's messing on board, you had to buy chocolate extra because you hadn't got it. The food was so dull, you see.
You mentioned drinking. Would you be given the rum?
No.
You wouldn't get... What about...
We could have beer.
How was it issued?
There was a wine stock in the gun room. But unless you weren't allowed spirits until you were 20.
So you could actually have a glass of wine or a drink of beer?
I could have a glass of port if I paid for it, yeah.
And that would be your mess bill?
Yeah.
Was the mess bill your own, or was it divided between you all?
No, your own.
And it sounds a strange. What about your moral welfare? You were very young boys on a ship full of men.
Yeah.
Were people looking out to make sure that you weren't?
No, they weren't. But then I was particularly fortunate, I think. old O'Halloran, who sort of nursed me, really, as you might say, really, and that sort of thing, and told me all the facts of life. My knowledge of the facts of life, which I had got from my father before I went to sea, was, my dear boy, your loins are sacred. And that was the long and the short of it. Well, you soon learned a good deal more on board, and our boat's crew used to tell me all the stories of all their love affairs and everything, and full details. You picked it up. But I can say, I think I was fortunate. There was, so far as I came across it, in any rate, in the blow, there was no homo or anything like that at all. I never had any trouble that way.
And people kept out an eye for drinking and gambling, that you people would be watching to make sure you didn't fall under any bad influences? And
theoretically, but it was up to you to a large extent, really.
So you were self-disciplined?
Self-discipline.
And another thing, it's part of a ship's routine, but which we haven't covered yet, and I believe an unpopular part, was coaling ship.
That's right.
Could you explain, take me through a coaling of the ship and the different jobs? Because you were all involved, weren't you? And where you went and what happened to them?
Yes, I can. We'd coal ship, shall we say, about every 3 months, that sort of, depending how much sea time we'd done. I think we had to take in about between 3,000 and 4,000 tons. The collier would come alongside the night before, open up her holds, and get ready. We usually would start at 5:30 in the morning, probably in the dark. There'd be usually four holds. So many sailors in each hold. No one was excused coal ship, other than the captain, who very often did coal ship. The officer watch, of course, and quartermaster, and, I mean, the people who had to actually on duty. Everybody else, didn't matter who you were, the schoolie, the padre, the lot, they all had coal ship.
It was that meant they were all physically involved?
Oh, yes, physically involved.
Not just supervised?
No. Very physically involved. The midshipman's job, you worked in the hold, holding the coal bags for the sailors to fill. You went 12 to a hoist, 12 big bags to a hoist. You held the bags, put the hoist together, ran the loop through the lot, connected up to the winch hook, and away it went. That you did an hour of that, roughly. Then you did
an hour. That must have been a horrid, dusty job.
Oh, yes. Surely. Hard to see anything. Then you went up and worked the winch for an hour. And that would be hoisting the hoist like that. And you had two winches. One would lift it out of the hold like that. When it was clear of the hold, the other winch would take over to get it on board ship, you see, where it'd be dumped.
Just on the deck?
On the deck. On the deck for the rest of the sailors, with barrows and everything like that. And they would unhook the thing, take the bags, put them on the barrows, and take them to one or other of the manholes, which were all on deck, which led down to the bunkers.
Straight down.
At the bottom, in the bunkers, there'd be the trimmers, and they had the worst job of the lot, because they had to trim the coal as it was chucked down, so as to even it out over the bunker like that, you see.
Was that with a shovel or...?
Yes, with a shovel. And that was a filthy job, because you can imagine a sack loads of coal descends through a chute on top of you.
Would there be midshipmen down there as well?
No, the midshipmen were doing... The midshipmen stuck to the holds and the winches.
Would officers be down? Would there be someone...
Oh, yes, there'd be the engineer officers. And most of the officers would be on the barrows, I think, really.
Would they actually wheel the barrows?
Oh, yes.
Not just supervising?
No. No, everybody was physically involved.
Why was that? Because it isn't usually the case, you know, in a naval job for everyone to engage. I mean, normally an officer will supervise. Was there any? Was it just a tradition that had grown up? Or
it was a tradition. There was a great competition between the ships as to who was going to finish first. Terrific competition. That was why it was called an evolution. And we used to try and work up to 400 tons an hour at the best. But then, of course, as the bunkers get filled, it becomes slower and slower because of trimming it off and all that sort of thing.
So perhaps the reason officers had started doing it was to put an extra...
Well, there used to be, you know, when we were saying officer supervisors, of course one supervises a lot, but... Well, I used to scrub decks of the sailors, if you see what I mean. You joined in a lot like that.
But that was as a midshipman. I mean, normally...
Yes.
The captain wouldn't...
Oh, no, he wouldn't, no. But
it just seems to be an exception from normal routine.
Yes, yes. Well, that's how it worked. That's what it was. Like,
did you wear a special uniform?
No, you just wore any old rags you could put on. You just wore... I had an old pair of overalls. That's what everybody wore, pair of overalls, usually in rags, because it wasn't it was a pretty filthy job.
And how long would it take?
I remember Christmas Day 16 was the day I remembered, because we started at 5:30 and we finished about 6 in the evening.
Started at 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah. 5:30 in the morning. Finished about 6. Well, then...
So 12 and a half hours.
Yeah. We had a sort of break for eating corned beef sandwiches in the middle of the day.
Was it exhausting work?
Oh, very exhausting. Very exhausting.
And what about the... It sounds as if it was the inevitable follow-on. What about cleaning ship? Would everybody join in that as well?
Well... when coaling was finished, you stripped up. When you finished with the collier and that sort of thing, you swept up roughly the main cleaning paintwork, and the refinements would be left to the next day. But the ship would be swept and all that sort of thing, cleaned up roughly. The midshipman, junior midshipman's job was to. I think I've told you the gunroom bathroom, 2/3 of a long bath was our water allowance of the day, 24 of us. Well, the sub had it in the long bath first to clean himself. You had to stand on the side of the bath like that with a basin, and the geyser was up here, and you had to take the cold water and put it with the geyser, heating it up. Get it warm. When he'd finished, then the senior midshipman, the water was bailed out of the long bath into a little trays, and the senior midshipman washed in that. When they'd finished, the junior midshipman with what was left, which was then just about black pea soup, you tried to clean yourself up with that. Well, by the time we'd finished all that lot, it would have been after 7:30, I think. I don't know, around about then, or 7:45. Then we had our Christmas dinner.
What was Christmas? I mean, just going on.
This messman did quite well. I think we did have turkey. I don't know where the hell he got it from. And plum pudding. But, of course, one was so damn tired that you could hardly eat anything.
Were there any... in the army, the officers served the men... Was there anything like that in the Navy?
No.
So there wasn't much celebrations that time?
I was feeling very well. I remember that particular Christmas because I'd been in the hold and then I'd been on the winch for an hour, and it was damn cold. It had been snowing the night before, so there was snow everywhere. And I was feeling pretty... I wasn't looking forward to going down the hold again, and the master of the collier came up to me and said, you look a bit cold, lad. Come with me. And he took me into his cabin and gave me a glass of whiskey like that. And he said to you, down that. I didn't know much about life for a bit after that. It was a very nice gesture.
And that was about every 3 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Were there any other big jobs that had to be done, you know, coaling every so often? I mean, did you paint ship while you were there?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
Would you be involved in that?
Yeah, yeah.
In what way?
Well, it was easier to take a paintbrush and join in than to just stand watching the sailors doing it. I think that's a lot to do with it, you know, and they liked it. You know, I mean, they chug out you a bit and all that sort of thing. But they enjoyed. They liked you joining in with them.
And how often would you have to paint? What bits of the ship would you paint?
Well, we painted the whole ship.
The whole of it?
The whole of it.
Waterline up?
Yeah, yeah. The side party would do the waterline. They were the skilled chaps, and they had the dirty job too. They had a raft, you see, and they'd go around doing the waterline. Well, if you try to do a nice straight waterline when the sea is going like that, it's not too easy, do you see? Apart from the fact that one or two sailors would think it rather a joke to empty their pot of paint under the side party.
So that was just, and then would you be on the side? I mean, would the side party do from the waterline up or just?
No, they just did the waterline.
So who'd do the next bit?
The sailors.
And how would they be? What would they
on
be
stages? Stages.
Just hung from above.
Just a stage hung from above, with a couple of lines like that, and you sat on the stage.
And what was it? The Battleship Grey, I presume.
Battleship Grey. Yeah.
That would be a major task, though, painting the whole ship.
It was. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then everything above as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's another job. Well, you mentioned it then, chiarking you. How did you get on with the? The lower deck.
I got on very well with them, really, very well. I always have. I don't know whether it's being a parson's son, but I've always got on well with them.
What did they call? I mean, when you were a midshipman or a snotty, what would they? Would they call you sir, or what would they?
Oh yes, yes. They'd call you sir, except perhaps if you got away from the ship and were on your own and, you know, and they were telling a few stories and that sort of thing. They'd rather the sir rather got left out.
What do you mean when you say chiaking? You know, you mentioned that when you had to go and fetch the cane as well. If you
yeah,
what sort of things would they say then? Or?
Oh, just the usual sort of chiaking. Oh, look, you know, and sort of all party. What you got on with your trousers, sir? And that sort of thing.
When you put the
game. Yes. So what have you done now, sir? Been at it again?
So disrespectful, but with the sir.
Yes, yes, sir. It's all good. It's all good temper. You know, all good humour.
What about with, you know, the petty officers, people like that? I mean, would they really be senior to you in most?
Yes, they would really, they were. But they were very good, you know. They were, of course, more staid and all that sort of thing.
It's because the relationship was because they were, in some ways, junior to you.
Yes, but they would rather, sort of, a good one would rather say, I think so, you know, if you were to do it this way, you find it easier, or, you know, that type of thing.
And would you respect their senior, their experience?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If you hadn't said so.
And what about higher up officers, would you come into much contact with them, really?
No, not really. Not really. In those days, not really.
Right. I mean, we've covered pretty well, unless there's anything else you remember about the routine. I'll go on to the more special things.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them was the Hoxer Sound Patrol in a drift.
Yep.
Now, what exactly was that all about?
Well, the entrances to Scarpa Flow all had booms right across, with what we call gates in them, you see, that they could wind back like that, to prevent, obviously, to prevent the enemy from getting in. And outside that, and inside that, they would have drifters, ordinary fishing drifters, which were manned by service personnel Some of them were manned by their own crews, but with personnel as well on board. And we used to do 4 days patrol at a time. We'd take it, ships would take it in turn, various hoxa sound, hoy sound, various sounds, Stromness and so on. And you did 4 days, and there'd be a lieutenant in charge, and probably 2 midshipmen or 3 midshipmen. You slept in the hold. The midshipman's task was to cook.
That was all?
Well, that took up quite a lot of time.
How many crew would there be aboard?
Oh, I suppose about 100 dozen.
So you cooked for everybody?
No, we only cooked for ourselves and for the officer in charge. The cooking was pretty elementary. It was mostly sausages and stuff like that.
Had you had much practice?
None. And I was very sick too, but that didn't make a difference. A drifter like that was up and down the whole time.
Was that the contrast from the Bellerophon?
Well, yes, because you see, the motion in a small ship is completely different from a drifter. I mean, a drifter bobs around like anything, you see.
Hadn't your previous experience in small boats and on the pickets helped you, though, or was it just...
Well, I wasn't too bad, but others were. I wasn't too bad.
Did you have any other duties?
Well, you see, you were on duty in the wheelhouse when you went cooking. You see, because you had to keep a lookout.
You wouldn't be in charge of the wheel, or anything?
No, there'd be a helmsman.
So you were a lookout?
You were a lookout, really.
And what were you equipped with? Just...
I suppose we had some sort of weapon. Well, we had a gun, I suppose. We must have had a gun, probably a 6-pounder, something like that.
I presume nothing happened on your fort?
No, I never had any trouble.
And you do this several times, would you?
Oh, I did it several times, yes.
Did you enjoy it? Was it a nice break, or was it...
It was a break. It was a break. And, I don't know, I was rather mated. I think if the weather was fairly decent, it was rather fun. You could do a bit of fishing. towing a line, that sort of thing. No, I think it was quite fun. But of course, you see, we're getting to the time. One was supposed to be in the Bellerophon for 2 years. That was the normal sort of period. But during that time, after your first year, you were supposed to do a fortnight in destroyers training, see what destroyer life is like. And that is when it would have been in 1917, I started my destroyer training.
Right, well, yes, before we go on to that, then, we better cover the Battle of Jutland, which was...
Yes, oh yes, cover the Battle of Jutland. Yes,
yes. First year, yes.
I can do the Battle of Jutland next.
So, if we take it right from the start, when the fleet was called out, was it in any way different?
No. We thought to begin with that it was just an ordinary sweep.
So, I think the best thing is if you just take me through the story of that day as you remember it, you know.
Well, I think that, if I remember right, I think I was ashore on Flotta when we saw the signal going up, which we knew had meant, so we went back to the ship.
Would that be just a flag signal?
Yeah. And then we realised we were going to sea, of course, and we went to sea, went through all the drill. You see, there were these 4 squadrons of battleships and all the cruisers and a hell of a fleet and all these lines, you see. So it was quite an organisation getting to sea, squadron by squadron, that sort of thing, weighing and forming up and so on. And then you get outside and you're screened by the destroyers.
Would you, at your lowly level, would you understand the sort of evolutions that were going through?
Oh, yes. I'm sure we get to know. Oh, yes. So we knew that, you knew the whole setup, the drill, movements and everything like that.